show with me. And,
can I just shut the door here? Come in.
Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, April 1, that's 11, or two times the fool, 2008. Our guest tonight is Barato, a talk show host, CEO, businessman, marketing consultant, U.S. Navy pilot, suburban husband, webmaster, vagabond, writer, music, Christian missionary, consciousness promoter, unconsciousness promoter, spiritual teacher, magazine publisher, editor, world traveler, guru, film narrator, and after failing all those, he's a talk show host on my show. Hi, Barato. How you doing, man?
That was really beautiful. I don't think it was ever packaged and said so quickly. But we didn't say imprisoned on the island of Malta for being a born-again Christian.
That's a good one.
That was really trippy, you know.
You like that?
And then another time where I broke a Roman Catholic crucifix and defecated in a Roman Catholic church.
Wow, that would have been good.
You know, and so you know, I look at it all as ritual. Well, it's an honor and it's a pleasure. You are the man that's on Coast to Coast AM. You are the celebrity. I'm just I just work in the back room and shovel the stuff. But I heard on this BBS you can use all. It's like HBO. Huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun over here at BBS Radio. You ought to get yourself a show over here.
I saw a lot of
really interesting. Yeah, I know I've been on your show a few times, or at least once in the last year or so.
You've had
a lot of interesting guests yourself, haven't you?
Well, you know, it goes back to the days of New Frontier. So I've been in this trip, if you may, since the early 80s. I came back from India. You want to hear the story?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to find out. My audience wants to know about you, man.
Because, you know, it's a great story, and I enjoy telling it because it's, and somebody's calling me on the other phone. I'll talk to them as I'm talking to you, and then we'll tell them not to call me back again. I did this on my show, too. You know, yes, you're calling me, and you're live on BBS on a very special show. The name of the show, again, is
Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show.
Dr. Fred Bell's show, he's on right now. Yeah, who is this? Okay, Johnny Bubanik is on the line. Johnny, you're on my show tomorrow. And we're all cool. And I'm online right now. If you go to the BBS network, I'm talking with Dr. Fred Bell, giving my whole history on another talk show. So we got talk shows lining up, talk shows lining up, talk shows. Tomorrow we're going to. Hey, can I take a break and talk about the show tomorrow, Fred?
Yeah, you're over at Progressive Talk 880 a.m.,
right?
Right,
880 a.m. It comes out of Asheville, but it's streamed to about 500,000 people through Clear Channel's, you know, garbage stuff.
Yeah,
and tomorrow I got the guy on the phone.
Okay, it's garbage, but it works.
And I know, and I got Johnny Bubanik on the flow, and I'm trying to get, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it, Sally Minella.
Uh-huh.
If we can find Sally, we got ourselves a group that we're going to start, and I'm going to put the first $5,000 into the first friggin' rock group that we're going to put together. I don't care. I'll come.
That
hey, guy's
like
talking
fun.
To me. Hey, Johnny Bubanik, let me call you in the morning so we can have free time together, and let me get on with Frel. Go find a BBS thing, and I'm on it tonight, and I'll tell you where that's at. We'll have some good fun. And don't dive in the night because it's good. And never use a flash. Always use flashlights. Don't use lit matches because you don't know there might be some gasoline rags in there. Talk to you tomorrow, Johnny. All right, bye.
So what's he do anyway?
Tomorrow I'm going to be. So let me get back to
the... Go to your story.
Let me tell the story first. Okay, so once upon a time, right? So I was born in Brooklyn, 1938, December 14th.
Hell, you're older than I am.
You really am? Yeah, okay.
By a couple of days.
All right, so there you go.
Yeah.
So in Brooklyn, New York, you know, which is where my parents were both immigrants from Lithuania, and so I'm the first generation born in the United States. Now, I was born in Brooklyn Jewish Hospital, which is kind of neat because I'm not Jewish, but what's really interesting... And listeners, you got to hear this. So you guys out there who don't want to, you know, have circumcision done, and you're not Jewish, be born in a Jewish hospital. Because what happened is, you know, in a regular hospital, you know, they convince you that, you know, get a circumcision and all that. But here I was a goy, or not a Jew, and born in a Jewish hospital. I think my mother, you know, dropped her water or something. Anyway, to make a long story short, I never got circumcised because I'm not Jewish. Only the rabbi can do the circumcision.
Wow.
The doctors don't do it. So anyway, so I was born there, blah, 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 went to a Catholic school, never thought of it as being parochial, never thought of it as being fundamentalist while I was there. You know, when you're swimming in the water, you don't know it's the sea.
That's right. You were a war baby like I was.
Yeah, so, you know, I was very, I had no other brother. My mother had six miscarriages. I was the last one that made it. So I would have had six brothers and six sisters. So I was a very, very protected child. I was alone. And, you know, my mother wanted me to be that one, and I chose to be reclusive. I had no friends at all in grammar school or in primary school. Went on, and I was kicked out of that Catholic school for being oversexed because I put a condom on a popsicle Pete. Now, you don't do that in Catholic grammar schools. And I had found some of my dad's porno stuff or something like that. My mother died when I was about 12 or 13. It was very traumatic to me because I was a very mama's boy kind of thing. I was always a sissy, and everyone always threw sand in my face. So I got kicked out and went to a public school. That was a shock, you know, the girls would touch you and stuff like that. Kind of blew me out, and then that was long-lasted for about 8 months, and then I went on to take a test for Brooklyn Technical High School. If you're familiar with New York, at that time, it was the highest
rated. New York must have been really trippy back in those days.
Oh, it was a very high school, very, very difficult school.
Yeah.
Anyway, I lasted to the end of that school. I didn't quite graduate. Dropped out. Forged. This is the truth. As I stand here today, you can't do it, but I forged my birth certificate, my original birth certificate.
Yeah, you're ahead of the time in forgery.
Took me about a week. Anyway, so I joined the Navy at the age of 17, went in as a grunt, went to all that basic training and the garbage and all that, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, all the pilots were jumping out of the Navy. They needed a pilot. They made this guy who was a high school dropout. They turned me into a pilot. I went to Navy school, pilot school, blah, blah, blah.
What did you train on, by the way?
What's that?
When you were training, what was your training type plane?
Which we were talking
about? When you were in the Navy training program as a pilot, what were they training you on, those old biplanes?
No. I'm going to hit you on the head, Fred.
What?
You're so bad. No, I took all the, you know, the various link trainer stuff, and then you go over to P3 and just bullshit stuff like that.
Okay.
You just basically learn the controls. It's basically an aerodynamics school when you first fly. After that, once you get the aerodynamics, then you go for specialty. So I kind of washed out of fighters, but I was down in Pensacola.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I love it down there.
I was in the NAVCAD training program.
Wow.
Naval cadets, because all the pilots were jumping out and joining the airlines when the jets first came in.
Oh,
so
yeah.
they had no pilots, so then they wanted to find some intelligent people, so they didn't care whether I was a graduate or not, because once you get in the service, they only know what's your GCT or what's your,
yeah.
your, you know, how bright are you. So I stayed in there, did that whole number, traveled around the world, flew an actual aircraft before I was old enough to drink.
That's
before
funny.
I was old enough to drink, I was flying a nuclear, what do you call it, loaded P2V Neptune.
Wow.
Manufactured
the big
by Lockheed.
Yeah.
Two big props. So I did that whole number, stayed in there, and I thought, well, I'll make a career. It was like fun, you know. You know, anyone has an idea to go from an enlisted man to an officer without having, you know, whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
It's quite prestigious, and they just commanded me, and they took 8 years of my life away.
Right.
And then when I wanted to, you know, go for the biggie, they spit me out like tomorrow's lunch because I wasn't one of the elite boys.
Oh, okay.
I'm a guy from the streets of Brooklyn, you know.
Yeah.
So I did that, blah, 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 you know, got out of the military, blah, 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 and then kind of a non-whatever life. I'd gone to CCNY, I got a degree there, I got an engineering degree from Rutgers, started for law, all that kind of garbage, marketing degrees. So the degree and all that stuff was fun, night schools and stuff, got married, had three kids, left them like Buddha, went on the road, hung out. A big chunk of my life at that, you know, in my early 30s was in the sexual, spiritual vein. I became a tantric master. I ran to some of the largest sex clubs on the planet Earth.
You Hefner beat.
Well, you know, Hefner has always been the king.
Yeah.
But I quickly got out of the seedy sexual porno stuff because it didn't smell right. You know, I wanted nice incense and I wanted heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I the sexual thing got me through, and I mean, stuff that I did, and I can say it. I can say it now because I'm not making this as something that I'm waving a flag for it. So I really want to make sure that people hear that this was something that happened, which was a spiritual event. You know, a lot of people are going to giggle now.
Yeah,
they're going to giggle. Oh, this is spiritual, but it was in fact a spiritual event. And if they go to my website, and you know, just Google Virato, V-I-R-A-T-O. It's the best way to learn about me. don't go to any website, because any website that I have is all BS. Because, you know, I tell people everywhere, and I've been saying this in my workshops, which I do all over the world. This is the kind of big thing I did. The radio thing came in. It was 10 years because I did radio, and I did radio before, and then some Christian coalition bought the station. I did radio in Philly. I had my show there when I was publishing New Frontier magazine in print, and we had offices in about 12 different countries, and we only printed 60,000 copies. It was so cool. Was, you know, if you ever get a chance to check out New Frontier magazine, people still know it all over the world.
That I remember it.
That was a lot of fun. So, you know, the whole sexual thing was really, really big. And I'm talking 4,000 or 5,000 women that I had sexual intercourse with.
Wow.
I'm talking about being
you're
at a
like
party where there were 2,000 people that were having sexual intercourse. You know, and I ran orgies around the world, and then began to find myself getting further and further away. So today I'm celibate, or brahmacharya. I no longer need to do any of the acts that you would see in a porno thing that's so pervasive on the internet. No, I, you know, I'm not putting that down. As a matter of fact, the only way you can get through with anything, you know, and then people that wanted to make contact with UFOs, you know, and Stephen Greer and I, we're not really friends, you know, I want you to know that because...
Yeah, he just hurt himself in an accident. He got his knee all screwed up.
Well, you know, when I don't know about that brain tumor thing, but he was supposed to be on my show, okay?
Yeah.
I respect everyone.
Right.
You know, but you know what? His doo-doo evidently didn't smell. Because his wife or a promoter...
His wife.
When I had said to them, look, take advantage of this, but please tell people you're going to be on the show, and you got some advertising coming out. And I knew about the advertising coming out 5 days before the deadline. So I wanted to plug the show, and, you know, give me something. I mean, because, I work my butt off to put a show. You know, you're doing it now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, how many shows a week do you do?
Well, you know, they wanted me to do 5 shows. They wanted me... to basically, Premier talked to me, and I had a big thing there. I talked to the guy at Premier Broadcasting, which is owned by Clear Channel, and the station I'm on.
You almost went over a George Norrie spot, right?
Well, you know, this is what I said, okay? Between you and I and all your listeners, right?
Yeah.
I love everything that Art Bell did and has done and continues to do in whatever way he does it. He's
right.
A very fun human man, and I respect him. He's a Republican, I'm a Democrat, but after that, I don't think we hold a lot of, you know, stuff in that area. But George came in because, and you know, and it's not a bad thing, but it was sort of a political kind of thing, and they needed a shot. You know how the game works in the radio business,
right?
And that's fine, but after a while, you know, you begin to understand that. When I came back on the scene after I was doing radio in Philly, I never thought in a million years to even think about, you know, competing. But I listened to the quality of the shows, and I listened to the guests, which are the same guests, by the way, and I find out that their team comes to my website and starts to escouch the guests, because my guests come to me metaphysically. I don't know if George Norrie levitated in India, but I did, and I have witnesses. I don't know if George Norrie stood in Moscow before an audience of several hundred people on 2 different occasions, one pronouncing that there would be an attack upon the Twin Towers, and who was going to do it, and what it was going to look like. 1 hour later, and this was in a place, and this is so ironic, it was called the White Cloud Bookshop. Now, it was in Russian, whatever the hell they mean, White Cloud.
Yeah.
A half hour later, I was outside, people came up to me in panic, and they said, Virato, did you hear? The ones that spoke English. I said, you know what? Your country's been attacked. Now, you're in Moscow, Russia, and someone tells you your country's being attacked. You don't know whether you're going to do... You know, what are you going to do? It's a shock.
Especially when you find out where your country attacked itself.
And then, of course, I heard, and it was difficult to get much information in Russia, a couple of papers. I never got anything on the Pentagon. I never saw a single thing on the Pentagon until much later.
Interesting.
And you know, so that whole thing happened over there, and I pronounced it. And then a couple of years later, I was doing a workshop, and they were very intense workshops, by the way. The term of the tantra, but they're very, very transformational. They're kind of like Est. People have out-of-body experiences. People go into altered states. We use no drugs. We use no. By the way, I don't really do many of them anymore. And I'm changing the complexion of them.
Yeah.
I'm removing the sexual aspect 100%, because you see, that, well, another story, another time. So, anyway, one day I'm walking down Broadway in 1976, 77, something like that. Two flashes of light from up on top. I don't know what they were. My life never was the same. I never shaved again. I never ate meat again.
Yeah, I've been a vegetarian a long time, too.
You know, and I don't call myself a vegetarian because, you know, I know some of the real powerful mafia guys and all. They just don't eat meat. It has nothing to do with any kind of airy-fairy stuff and all that baloney. It's just common. You don't fucking eat animals that are eating other animals and shit like that.
No.
It's not right for the body in every possible way.
That's
on the physical
exactly
plane,
right.
On the energetic plane, on the spiritual plane. On Oh, that's stupid, man. You know, and the whole thing is stupid. So now, somebody said that I became enlightened. I don't know. Within 6 months, I was in India. I took sannyas with Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. The name changed to Osho.
Yeah, I remember. We know it about Varesh now, who runs the trip over in Holland.
Well, Varesh, he runs the therapeutic ship.
Yeah.
And then Renaissance Hotels runs the business. And then there's 21 rich people from there. The whole thing is dissolved. But the old man said this. He said, you know, many enlightened masters, teachers, avatars have come upon the planet. We all know them. Jesus, Buddha. You know, we all know the names, right?
Right.
He said, before my ashes will be finally all, you know, they burn the bodies in India, you know. Before
right.
my ashes will hit the ground, you're going to turn this into a religion. Sure, the shit within 11 years. And, you know, they've kicked me out. They don't let me come into their ashram and stuff. And now I have about, around 1,000 of my own sannyasins or followers or devotees, whatever. But it doesn't mean anything. It's like, you know, it's like you with your followers. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
These are people who now like my show, that wherever I go, they like what I'm talking about, because it's usually not me. Once we go in, like the Sufis say, when we remove ourselves, something happens. So each and every guest that I have on my show, you included, has come in certain ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes these are real big names, and they want to be on the show. They agree to be on the show, and then technical difficulties, something happens. They're not on. And I've had people who just came out of a mental institution.
Really?
The day after they were released, and they
I probably have some as they go in.
Well, you know, both ways.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would have had Albert Einstein on the show. I mean, come on, let's tell it like it is. I love our friend up in British Columbia, John Hutchinson.
Yeah.
John is nuts. I mean, John cannot operate normally in the world, less than Albert Einstein could. I mean, he's a wacko. He puts his equipment outside, and he makes trouble with the landlords in real crazy ways, you know. Makes no sense, yet he's been able to defy the laws that we have, that are written in the laws of science. You know, I've seen it in my eyes. You know, I've watched him and looked at his work.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I will deal with, like, I go to the past of somebody that's dead, like Rudolf Steiner.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people either think of Rudolf Steiner as some kind of a spiritual mystic, which he was, or the founder of the Waldorf schools, you know, which he was. And, you know, his point of view was that you shouldn't start education until the kids reach the age of reason. Makes sense. Anything before that is programming. We're messing with the human psyche. You shouldn't start teaching. Let people experience. And then about 7 or 8 years old is when you start the formal education. And that's my point of view. So everyone that comes on Verato Live, by the way, the show, I want to give a plug for it anyway. It's called Verato Live, VIRATOLIVE, and it's VeratoLive.com, or you can just Google me, and I do the Tantra stuff, and I take people over to Russian tours and stuff like that. But most of the time, I don't want to do anything anymore. I'm honoring you, but I'm turning down other interviews and stuff like that because I don't, you know, I'm the proverbial, like, Buddha guy. I just want to hang out, you know.
Yeah. So what are you full-time working on your radio now, or do you have any hobbies and stuff, or what?
Well, you know, I'll be 70 in December, you know, so my wife is 31, and she's like half my age or less.
Yeah.
And she's from Russia, and she's a beautiful lady, and my relationship, as I said earlier, is brahmacharya. We don't do what people normally know about when you think of having sex with someone.
Yeah.
Where the penis is inserted into the vagina, moves in and out until the spurting of the, you know, spermatozoa and the ejaculate, and that makes babies and stuff like that. Those are mixed stains.
Yeah.
You know, gets you impeached as a president. But anyway,
those my girlfriend's 32. Did you know that? She's 30
what's
years
that?
Old
what's
also.
That?
Isn't that funny?
What?
Yeah, I guess the younger women like our energy, huh?
Your wife is 32?
She's 30.
Wow, man, that's cool.
Yeah, she's really neat. She's like a... like a model kind of girl.
Yeah, well, my wife is that same way. In fact, if you go to newfrontier.com /Dhiraja, Dhiraja.
Okay.
Newfrontier.com/Dhiraja, Dhiraja. And
yeah.
You'll see her in there. So we both, I mean, she accepts this as well as I accept it. And it doesn't mean that we are not in the milieu. It doesn't, you know, she's basically, well, I don't want to, you know, things that may be offensive to other people, we can, you know, steer clear of that. I have a relationship with, I'm not under contract, but I have a relationship with Clear Channel, and people are going to hear this. Now, Clear Channel is big, you know, they're the largest in radio in the world, you know, with 1,800 some odd stations, whatever, of them, a very, very tiny portion are progressive, less than 30. Very, very
small. How many people subscribe to your magazine?
The magazine, which New Frontier magazine, or the whole ball game?
well, the magazine itself.
We have about a million odd people come every month to newfrontier.com. I stopped printing on paper in 1995. When I came out and I said that it's insane with technology the way it is to still print on paper. And then for the next 10 years I did nothing because the internet did not grow and it's still nowhere near, you know, print. But
yeah,
dollar
looking,
for dollar.
I remember that magazine. I used to read. I see you looking at it on your website. There's a girl that says Angel and there's some girl on there.
Oh, you know, I asked her to marry me.
Did
what's her name, Monica? She's the angel from Touched by an Angel.
Yeah.
And I had interviewed her before the thing ever went on the air. That thing you're looking at there is like 15, 16 years old.
What'd she say?
Well, she thanked me very much, and of course 6 months later she got married, and then 6 months later she got divorced, and now she's probably an old lady. But you know, I always have been with very, very young women, always around 30. I started being with women when I was 18 and 19. They were in their 30s, and I still have.
That's amazing. It's sort of like me, too. You know, I don't know. It just... And I'm friends with pretty much all the ones I've been with. They all got older, obviously, but I'm still friends with them all, you know?
Yeah, they still write me from around the world, and sometimes I'm shocked because when I see a photo of them, many of them don't send photos, you know. But I, you know, I don't look. This is my point of view, all right? And I think you're that kind of a guy, too. We have left the arena of what is, you know, the normalcy of existence. We never were part of that. We were outside the box.
Yeah, we don't work in the box.
You know, and sexual energy or that energy is nothing more than the physical energy of the body, as we all know. You know, we can go back to the ancient mystics, call it Kundalini energy. We can call it Orgone energy with Wilhelm Reich and all. It doesn't matter what you call it, you know. But the fact is we know that we have the power. Like today, I got to tell you three things that happened today. I love it when there's some simple things, but they have it. I have this Volkswagen Jetta, and there's something wrong in the back, some loose wire or something, I don't know. But from time to time, the injured light goes on. When that goes on, it's a pain in the butt, right? You know, you don't know. So that's been, for the past 2 days that's been going on. So I get out today, I'm taking my wife over to work.
Yeah.
And the light's on, and I was ready to put my fist to the window.
Yeah, I've done that a few times, you know.
And I took a deep breath.
Yeah.
And I just I looked at my beloved's eyes sitting to the right of me, and I just felt so, oh, man, I felt the oneness. And you're so, you know, I said, you know what? I'm going to accept that little engine light as my little icon, my little emblem, my little UFO or whatever, and I'll love it, and I'll be meditation point. I looked over to the panel. It was out. It was out, right? And I thought that was cool. And then this morning I was waiting for a check from something to do some commercials on my show tomorrow, and a check hadn't come, and the MP3 file hadn't come, so I just assumed that the client wasn't interested. So I typed this letter and said, thank you very much, but, you know, it's now Friday. I haven't received it, so I'll make other plans. I put my mouse up to the send, ready to press on the left-hand button just before I press. I said, Actually, let me go out to the mailbox and see. Maybe somebody dropped the check off. I get out, I throw a pair of pants on. You know, it's early in the morning. And I'm walking out. Here's this white car pulling up. Guy getting out with a check in his hand, telling me the MP3 file has been sent. If I go inside, I'll find it. I said, and a few more, about four or five of these things. You know, and I really believe, like, this the secret thing, you know.
Yeah.
So much of this new age now, it seems to be the real prevailing thing. And I don't know, like, if Coast to Coast really understands what we're talking about.
I don't think they do. You know, Nori's got his little circle over there, and he's kind of keeping it that way now.
Well, you know, Nori is a performer. Nori is like a person who would be the anchor man on a TV thing. They're not the creative people.
No.
The way I'm different is I'm a one-man show. I do all my own booking. I read all my own books. I write all my own scripts. I do my promos. I do my commercials. I work with, you know, talented other people. I do my web stuff, 100% of it. So, you know, and I enjoy that, and it gives me, I did that for New Frontier, too. I would do most of my interviews myself. I would make sure that I, you know, write down in the nuts and bolts. And why can't we? I mean, I'm doing it, and I've done it for 25 years.
Yeah.
And everyone out there can, and that's, my whole thing, Fred, is one thing and one thing only, to wake people up. I want to do the same stuff that Jesus attempted to do, that Osho and the Bob and Mohammed and Moses and the whole crowd. And, hey, listen to me, the folks are listening right now. I want you to hear this and hear it loud and clear. If you get anything of what Fred Bell is about or what I'm about, and you understand things such as Zen and the art of motorcycle maintenance, you know, and things like that, and you start to understand, then, you know, welcome to the crowd. If you don't get it, I don't know. I think they should just go to orgies and do a lot of LSD. No, I don't recommend LSD. I don't think it's a positive factor to get out there. Ayahuasca and stuff like that. Marijuana, you know, I'm definitely at the reform of the laws of marijuana. I don't ask anyone to break the law. Clear Channel has given me a pretty wide envelope on that, as long as I don't, you know, I make a disclaimer. But they're really anti-sex.
Yeah.
I could never do what I'm doing with you on your program out there. No, I would never be able to get away with that, you know?
With that?
What, even talking about the intercourse or something.
Oh, yeah.
They checked me out before they put me on the show. I've been on that, this is my fourth year.
Yeah, I've been on here almost that time.
I wanted to go on earlier, but no, they wouldn't talk to me and all that. And then, of course, when that was before Clear Channel had bought it. You know, they didn't know, they were all basically Christian-oriented down here. This is the Deep South, even though it's a progressive town with a lot of wacko.
There is a lot of Christianity on the Clear Channel, isn't there?
What's that?
What do they think of you?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. There's a couple of schools of thought. One is the group that they have no idea who the hell I am. They don't really care to know who I am, but
yeah,
they do know that I'm something very unusual and that a lot of people have interest in this unusual character. For that reason, I'm treated such, you know, like a potentate. My picture is up in the main studio. It's the most advanced station. Well, it's a complex. Here's the way Clear Channel does it. Clear Channel comes into a community of 100,000 to 200,000 people. And they essentially, and I'm not making them wrong, by the way, although a lot of left-wing people would make them wrong.
Yeah.
They come in, and they buy up all the stations. Now, why do they buy the stations? You know, Fred, because right now there is a glut of opportunity for information. I mean, anywhere you can go, you can get information. You get information. They talk to you. Your billboards talk to you. And Clear Channel is one of the largest owners of billboards. They're going to be interactive billboards, as you well know. Now, you go down, you know, in a subway, or you go into they'll have different kind of places. If you go on a long distance trip, the plane, for instance, that you're going on, and you're going in an airport, as you go by this, they look at your eyes, they register it, go to the database, and they quickly said, "Good morning, Swami Virado. Hey, I see you're on your way to Boston. Well, listen, be sure to check out Neiman Marcus's new thing they got going down there, Swami."
Yeah, right.
It's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's all programmed and ready to rock and roll. But anyway, getting back to Clear Channel. They checked me out. They didn't want the sexual stuff. They saw copies of the magazine. They heard my voice. They didn't know what to do. But you know what? Clear Channel is about like any other company, and if they're a good company, they're about money.
Yeah.
So the largest natural food store in the town, you know, which had really deep pockets, they threw $16,000 into the pot, that sweetened the pot real well. I had the show.
That'll do it, yeah.
You know, and they monitored me. First, they gave me a 1 week, and they monitor it. And, of course, I promoted it very heavily because I've been on the Internet since the days before AOL, before there was an Internet.
Right.
You know.
Who were your first guests that you had when you first started?
With a new show, Verado Live?
Yeah.
Well, I did something which is kind of cute. I figured, use up all your cards. You're going to pick up a hot chick in a bar. You better show it all fast. You work on your last 10% later. Give them the 90% that's going to sell the product.
Right.
So in my first 6 months, I had Jose Arguez. I had Deepak Chopra. The names would go on in infamy.
Yeah.
Tommy Chong of Cheech and Chong. I mean, I went through my Rolodex, and I still have one, by the way, of all the people that I had interviewed and talked with the past 20-some-odd years with New Frontier Magazine.
Right.
And with all my tantric stuff, I did workshops all over the world. So having that following, I had a big database. So I began to promote the show in the database, and we got lots of international, national readers. I lost my international thing. Clear Channel, some people call them the Walmart of broadcasting. They hear this, they're going to kick me off. But I'm happy with them. They're happy with me. They're just like people like anyone else, you know, even in management staff. But basically, it's, you know, they tend to be more Radio Shackish, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love them. And they love me. My picture's up there right next to Rush Limbaugh, you know. And so, you know, they cut me out, and then I had a picture, and I'm all over. I'm registered. They promote the show. If people go to 880 The Revolution in Asheville, they don't have the WPEK was the letters of it, but they do that. So I tell everyone at VeradoLive.com, and tomorrow they listen. Hey, here's the thing. You're live right now, right?
Yeah.
All right. Anyone, the first five callers that call to my show any time in the three-hour period from 10 to 1 Eastern Daylight Time on VeradoLive.com, and they say they heard about it on the Fred Bell Show, and they say it on my show, I will give them a $30 copy, brand new copy, of a most outstanding book called Going Deeper. This book flipped me out, and I just had to say I had to get a whole lot of them. So,
what's the book called?
The first five callers that say they heard about me on Fred Bell last night.
Yeah.
Call the show, and you'll hear the number on the show. It's 252-4348. Area code 828-252-4348. Don't call it any other time than showtime, by the way, it's an empty studio.
Right.
So where do you broadcast from, Fred? Are you at your home?
No, yeah, I'm in my house. I have a studio here, and then the main computer hub is up in Paradise, California.
And then you, like, you own it, or
called
you...
BBS Talk Radio. And that's out of downtown Los Angeles. And that's a spinoff of this network. We own it, obviously. But these guys are more like, one of them is kind of like a Howard Stern wannabe. So it's not a spiritual kind of show over there. It runs at different times, you know. But it's more of a commercial, you know, tattletale, inquirer kind of show. And we got, you know, different kind of programming in that part of the BBS radio.
So you own BBS.com?
I own part of it. I don't own it all. I'm one of the owners, yeah.
One of the owners, yeah.
Yeah, well, Don Newsom and I started it. Actually, he had it just cranked up, and that was back in his, he had in his apartment back in Houston, Texas.
Do you take calls right now?
Yeah, I can take them. I can advertise.
There should be somebody listening now. His name is Nick. And he's from Philadelphia. He often calls into my show. And
yeah,
he said he loved to have
out there.
What's that?
Toll-free numbers are 877-876-5277. U.S. only, U.S. United States only is 888-815-9756. And the direct line, USA and Canada, is 530-876-3222. Call in and talk to Verado. He's a lot of fun. Don't be afraid, you know. And so anyhow, Don and I started this thing, and I was like the first big show that he had. And I'd go over on Art Bell, and I'd do a show over there, and I'd start bringing all the Art Bell listeners over, and then start promoting it through my business. And then I run full-page ads every month in something, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's grown. It's gotten pretty big now. We got I don't know how many millions of hits we get during the week on the front cover on the website, quite a few millions. But I get about 40,000 hits a week in my archives.
Now, let's talk about the individual shows, right?
Yeah.
You track 24 hours a day, right?
Yeah, it's music late at night, but it's getting there. Yeah, it's something's on all the time, yeah.
Right, but so anytime somebody would go in there and click on a show, you captured at least the record of the fact that they visited, right?
Oh, yeah. We have a tremendous Don the computer with. And
now, here's a question for you, because I need to figure this out, because I haven't been able to get any direct answers from Clear Channel. I've been told the guy that used to handle the internet stuff, he quit and he went to New York. All right.
Yeah.
So he was giving me some figures. At that time, he said that I was doing 350,000 distinct visits during my three-hour show.
Yeah, that's connections.
In other words, these are right. They're not that. These are not necessarily GIFs or any of that stuff. It's just connected to that show at that time during my time period.
Right.
Now, the only thing I don't know is, I would love to know, like, all the statistics, like where they're from, how long they stay on. There must be some way to find that stuff. Are they too cheap to do it or what? I don't know.
Yeah, what we do, Don knows how to do it. We used to put those statistics up there. But now, Alexa, it's like sometimes VBS will be up 28,000, and sometimes it'll be down to 38,000, sometimes it's 14,000.
Is there some way I can check it out with my show, myself?
Yeah, you just type in your network on Alexa. But the way we do it is we have some kind of monitoring stuff that monitors all this stuff, you know. And we used to put up the statistics, but we don't. We know we're in 174 countries, you know, we know that. And we know, like, maybe we have one listener in one country sometimes, you know, like somewhere, you know. And then we have a list of, we know how, what, you know, my show is popular here, Paraguay, England, France, Germany, it's in Canada, you know, the main areas. But it spreads out, you know.
BBS.com, right?
Yeah, BBS.com. But I'll have to have Don Newsom call you, and he can give you.
Yeah, have him call me. And, you know, because
I'll have him call you. Yeah.
So what are interesting things are happening? Interesting things are happening. I can talk about my guests tomorrow, which are kind of funky. I'm waiting right now, and I don't know whether I even have guests. I really like to expand so far out. Like, people don't even know that there are people that live and have been for years out of dumpsters.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
You know, there are people, there's a whole culture. So tomorrow, on tomorrow's show, and tomorrow will be, you probably podcast also, right? So we're talking now on the 11th of April, so the program I'm doing tomorrow is April 12th. And again, it's Saturday morning, April 12th, from 10:06, right after the ABC National News, and it goes till 1 o'clock. So the first show, I got Swami Beyondananda on.
I love him.
Ah!
He's great. I've met him, and I love his jokes. He was in your magazine for a long time. He had his own column in there.
I was the first guy to pay. He never does anything for free. He's such a Jewish swami.
Yeah.
And nobody does it for free. So I was the first guy to pay him $50. When back in the days when you first published these things on print paper, you know,
that made your magazine happen, that article of his.
A lot of people said that.
Huh?
A lot of people told me that.
Yeah, I never forgot him.
So he's going to be coming to Nashville, and he still travels. He's getting on there.
Where's he live now? He looks a little older now. I saw a picture of him the other day.
Yeah, he's got to be about 60 now.
Yeah, he's probably 30 when he was working with you, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've been doing this for 35-some-odd years.
Yeah, that's what I figured. He used to come out and do some of the Whole Life Expo shows and stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, I was doing the tantric sex stuff, and he was doing his shtick.
Yeah, but he's a great comedian.
And Stephen Halpern also
I love Stephen. Stephen and I did a music album together called Higher Ground.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Stephen and I go way, way back. He bought some property near Asheville, and I visited him when I go down the coast, and we've become friends over the years. And who else do I know out there? Well, Deepak Chopra, actually.
I remember when he started out.
He and Michio Kushi, they used to be in the booths, Ben, with Art Bell. They also worked the booths. We all used to work the booths, man, you know. And I still love these expos in California, New York.
I just did the one in New York 2 weeks ago.
Was that Paul's one?
Mark.
Mark Becker.
Mark Becker, yeah.
New Life Expo.
Yeah, and I'm going to do the New Living Expo in a couple of weeks with Kenny Kaufman.
Yeah, Kenny is like an elitist, you know. Like, you have to be famous before you can do workshops.
He pissed me off because he put me on Friday night, and that's a, I was screaming at him because for that one, you know, because nobody's there on Friday night.
He's an elitist. You can be a nothing, but write a successful book, and he'll put you up on top. He's about money. I love the man, you know, and I love them all. But I was involved with Paul, I forget his last name.
Yeah, Paul Andrews.
Paul Andrews. Yeah, Paul and I partnered up for a while in Philadelphia, and we never did it. But I did my own expo in Philly, and I used to get about 18,000 people in Philadelphia myself.
Yeah.
And made a lot of money on that. But radio was never productive.
I did one show at the National Health Federation over there once, Philadelphia.
So where are you from?
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Michigan, Ann Arbor. A lot of high intellectual, energetic people from there. Must be some kind of vortexual energy.
Well, I didn't stay there long. The government hauled me out of there when I was 15. So I was, you know, actually I was six. Well, we moved to Arkansas, and then they wouldn't let me stay there. They took me right into the Army base, and they took me down to Lackland, you know, Air Force Base.
Fred, I have a situation, and I don't know who to talk to. I'm gonna come out and tell you on your show.
Yeah.
I have mentioned it other ways, but I'm going to tell it right now. I told you I saw this vision of the Twin Towers.
Right before it happened in Russia.
And I have many witnesses. Anybody wants to know them, I'll put them in touch with those witnesses.
Oh, I believe you. I know you don't lie.
And I didn't know what was happening. I just said, and I was very angry in my eyes. See, I had thought it was Arabs, but it was Arab created around it. But,
now, everybody thought that until we found out different.
Yeah. I knew the image of the Arab I never felt it was real. But to make a long story short, early last year, 2007, I got this another vision, which I very similar to the other visions. And I got that at around the time of the election, October-ish of 2008.
Yeah.
The United States of America, and I'll show you what leads up to it, will, and its people, will have accepted martial law under the auspices of George W. Bush, the President of the United States, enforced during that particular time.
He'll do what now?
He is going to declare martial law.
Well, yeah, they pretty much have already.
Yeah. And what's going to create that is sometime in August, and I can't give a specific date. I do know that it's either Saturday or Sunday. It's a weekend.
Yeah.
More like a Saturday, just around sunrise-ish, as a projectile that's going to enter into the BB&T building. Currently the largest building in Asheville, North Carolina. Very much like an icon, very much trade and money, and it's right across the street from the Merrill Lynch building. I see this projector from about the ninth floor from the top. I don't know how many buildings. It's probably about a 35-story building, a 30-story building. So someplace around the ninth from the top, this projectile will go in with such force, it will come out and it will actually hit the Merrill Lynch building.
Wow.
It will be in a town of less than 80,000 people, which is Asheville, North Carolina.
Right.
But why Asheville? Because it's small enough that a lot of 80,000 towns will start to be scared shitless. And there'll be another one similar happening somewhere else. And minor things of threat. They'll be in the red zone all the way. People won't only accept martial law, they'll be demanding martial law.
Wow.
They'll be praying that the soldiers will come to their... Now, I don't know what to do with that. I've told it publicly now, ladies and gentlemen, and if it doesn't happen, I'm happy that this was another demented dream of some old man. But this is the kind of stuff that, you know, could be done, and I don't know what to say, how to say it. I would, if anybody wants to take some action, do something about it, in August, start taking pictures of this thing. If the FBI, Secret Service, wants to come and interview me, I'm totally open for it. You know, they already locked my box.
What do you mean?
I came into the post office where I get my Verado Live mail and New Frontier, stuff like that, and my box was locked. My key didn't turn. You know the brass key?
Yeah,
didn't turn.
Yeah, I know.
So I went in the front. I said, you know, I said, the thing's locked. And I said, I just paid my bill last month. oh, let's see what. So she comes back and she says, oh, well, it was locked by Homeland Security under the Patriot Act. You're lucky here. Well, yeah, you need to fill out this 3-page form. And she's talking loud in the post office like I'm a fucking terrorist.
Yeah.
I said, what the hell? And here was like a 3-page form.
Yeah.
Which was pretty much like I used to fill out when I was in the military to be cleared for secret. I had to give like all the jobs I've had and where I've lived before to get my post office box back. And when I did get it back, two pieces of first class mail were open with this big brazen closed sealed with Homeland Security seal.
What'd they want?
Yeah, they wouldn't tell me. It's against the law to tell.
They just sealed it, but there's nothing. They didn't send you a letter or nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But I had to fill out the form and give it to the post office attendant before I got my. But they unlocked my box.
Well, to get a post office box now, you got to fill out a Homeland Security form.
All right. So basically, I guess what they did is they maybe. But no one else seemed to get this except the other guy. He does a show on Saturday night on 570 in Asheville called Speaking of Strange.
Yeah.
You should be on his show sometime. Have you?
No.
He actually sat in for Nori a couple of times, once or twice. He's a wacko. He's, you know, Satanist kind of nighttime character.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, we're friends at some level because, you know, we support each other. But, you know, I've been to his home once or twice, and he's more of the wacko, you know, ghost coming and getting there. I mean, I look at some of those things. I did a show on the orbs. So what do you think I'm about?
What, me?
Yeah, I mean, you invited me to your show, which I found to be on, you know.
Well, I like to compare, you know, what your guests are versus mine, because we have sometimes the same guests. And I like to see what you are thinking about this creeping fascist, you know, movement that the government has launched, you know.
I seem to be more involved in politics than I have ever been in my life, and I don't like to say it's politics.
Yeah, it's just about where it's at. And, you know, in creeping fascism, what they do is they fool around with the people like they are now, and then they go after people like us later if the people lay down, and the people don't lay down, then they never bother people like us. But that's pretty much what's going on. Then there's a lot of mind control going on, too, obviously.
Oh, all over the place. I mean, my wife has gone nuts doing things on the chemtrails. And I've sent letters to American Airlines, to Boeing, and everyone. No one ever sent back anything.
No, they'll never respond.
And I mentioned on the air dozens
of
times.
Yeah.
No one ever cares to respond. You know, one of the big things I do out of the air, and I'm going to say it again on your program, is this. I flew patrol bombers in the military, in the Navy. They were 128 feet wide. Relatively small in terms of big aircraft.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of wing.
But that's supposed to be about what the size was of the aircraft that went into the Pentagon.
Right,
that's
which I never saw.
Yeah, well, before the never saw part, the real part that got me was this. Before they decided to blow the side of the building up for about an hour, there was a 16.7, and they actually measured it, 16.7 at its widest hole in the Pentagon wall.
Right.
The aircraft that's supposed to have gone through 127 feet wide.
Yeah.
And there's no markings on the side.
It looked like I saw some videos. Looked like a missile or something was shot at it.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't care. Right?
Yeah.
How about that? I don't know. I don't care. Because then you're going to say, what kind of missile and whatever.
I don't know.
I don't care. But I do know this. I was a pilot. I have two eyes, you know, and I wasn't doing any kind of drugs. And I've watched numerous videos. And you folks, they can still watch them. You know, I had Bill Lewis on last week. And, you know, people can still watch that. And then after that, you start saying, where are the titanium engines? Where are the bodies? Where is the luggage? Where's the everything and anything? Where's the gasoline that's supposed to have burned? Because there are books right there, and they haven't been burned. Now, you see it with your eyes, and yet nothing is done about it.
Right.
Fred, why is that?
Well, that's a big cover-up. I mean, you know, they confiscated all the gas stations and all the videos. And I mean, within minutes.
Yeah, but I'm seeing it with my eyes. Can't the senators look at that hole? Where is it? Stop right there. I don't want any more. Why are you accepting that? Look. Get your head and put it on the video screen.
Yeah.
And I don't want any more. I want an answer right now. And I don't go behind all your baloney kind of documentation and law. That's bullshit. I'm a citizen of this country. I live here. There's a hole. What happened?
Yeah.
What happened? Right now, tell me. It has to be a lie. There was no aircraft. Look, you see. That's it. I don't want to go any further. I don't even care about the Twin Towers and how fast they come down, because that requires some engineering knowledge.
Oh, yeah, I've had people on the show that know that have that engineering knowledge. That was brilliantly brought down, just like they bring down a building, you know?
Yeah, I mean, number seven, we know. I mean,
Yeah, number seven, Larry
said
pull it, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, how come they pulled it and they did it in, like, 2 hours? You don't leave a building loaded with dynamite forever.
No.
So that whole thing was goofy, too. You know, that had to have been done early.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if you know it, but Marvin Bush was going into the Twin Towers up until 24 hours before it got hit and evacuating everybody for the last 90 days. He
all
made
the,
everybody
all the
go out.
There were no Jews. There were no Jews killed.
No.
Because that's where they made all their money, buying short on the stock market and all.
Yeah, United Airlines, and of course Larry made all that money on the 100. He put $125 million down on the compound, and he collected $2.2 billion, I think, at the insurance level, you know.
Wow.
Larry Silverstein did, yeah.
So where are you going with that? Are you going to I'd like to have a show here. Can we I'll talk to him. I would like to have the same thing I'm doing, but I only 2 hours of it.
Yeah.
Like from 11 to 1 o'clock, and I do the whole thing, and then I don't know how the logistics. We'll talk after the show, but...
I'll come on your show again. We can really go into this. The other thing I've been covering a lot of is I started out with the 149 sub-contracts of the CIA on MK Ultra, and then I got into the Manchurian Candidate, and then I got into the launching of a special satellite called a keyhole satellite, KH-1110, back in 1990 by the Atlantis shuttle crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in, and the first thing they did is they had done all this MK Ultra studies, and I've got every study in my new book I'm working on, and they programmed birds. They would use a V-beam setup with something like Pat Flanagan's technology,
right,
from his Neurophone.
Is Pat was still with, I know his wife passed on, but is he still around?
Yeah, Pat's got a new girlfriend now. Yeah, he's living up in Santa Rosa.
What do you think with the dog? They would never, you know, they were columnists for me too, but they would never allow me not to have the dog in the picture. There was something with that dog. That dog was, I don't know if you know about this, but, I mean, they told me straight out that they would not write the column for me.
Wow.
If the dog were not in there and had to be the exact face of the dog.
Who, Pat said that?
Pat. No, what's her name? His wife.
Oh, Crystal Gale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they both agreed. I rarely ever talked with him. It was always her. You know.
Yeah, but I always talked to Pat, because Pat and I used to hang out together, and I used to go out. He had a ranch out in Tucson, and we used to go do all kinds of stuff together.
Did
we
the polyphone thing with the steel wool on your temples?
Well, I did the Neurophone on the bottom of my feet. That's when I told him that the deaf people needed to have this. And finally, he got about 10 years later, he started making them
on
cheap
the
enough.
The bottom of your feet, so it goes through the electrical lines, the Chinese.
Yeah,
lines.
It goes through the electrical lines. It's modulated, and now they're doing it by satellite, and they do it inside people's heads. People think that they're channeling. They have the technology down because they use that echelon technology to zero in on people.
Wow.
Yeah, and then they sit in the satellites, and they can actually push buttons. And I've got all the subcontracts where they do all the research on it. They can push buttons and make humans do things by pushing buttons and animals. I've got all the subcontracts. Bring me on your show, and I'll go through the subcontracts.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Go to my website, VeratoLive.com.
Yeah.
Look for the first open slot between 11 and 12, or 12 and 1. And, what's interesting, I'm finding out, get more listeners between 11 and 12 East Coast time than we do.
What day you want to do it?
Well, we only do Saturdays.
Huh?
We only do Saturdays.
Okay, well, maybe next Saturday, you know.
Well, I'm booked up well in advance.
Okay, well, just whenever. You just send me an email, and then...
I'll send you an email, and then you can tell people there, and I'll tell people wherever.
Yeah, and then we'll promote it on both websites.
Now, is this show that we're doing now, will this be podcast so people can hear it?
Oh, yeah, it's podcast, and it's above the ground in some areas. It's a little everything, you know.
Well, that is wonderful, Fred. You're doing an outstanding job. You always have. And, you know, part of the team creating the alternative. And again, you know, some people are more paranormal and deal with that. Some people are more ritual.
Well, I went through that whole scene. But now a lot of these people that are channeling are actually being somebody's talking in a microphone with a satellite beamed in their head, and they think they're getting channel ideas. And it's somebody dictating. And that's part of this thing called Project Moonbeam from NASA.
That's a hard one to swallow, but I mean, people have to.
Oh, I got the documents on it, baby. I got washed out Freedom of Information CIA documents declassified on this.
You know, I give you facts and figures now. I don't just speculate anymore.
So what do you think about our friend Alex Jones?
Well, you know, half disinformation artist. He's on your network, isn't he?
No.
I know I do this one show down there, the something or other show out of Texas, and he's on that network.
Genesis Network.
Yeah, the Genesis Network. Yeah, and
there, you know, they're kind of Christian network. Did you know that?
Yeah, but my feeling on Alex Jones is he's not very knowledgeable. He doesn't understand the lace drugs and Effexor and all the Xanax and how they program you that way. That's a whole other thing that goes with this. It's part of it. It's part of the satellite stuff. Is they go after these people after they get them out of the echelon program, so Alex doesn't. I try to send emails to him and stuff, and he just ignores me.
And he's a complete idiot
at this point. He did a brilliant job up there with the ceremony up there up in Santa Rosa in that place. You know, the whatchamacallit, that camp they go to every year up there, and I had friends of mine that were running that damn camp. I was invited to go to that. It's the one in Santa Rosa.
Jones's thing?
Yeah, it's the thing that that President Bush and everybody go to. It's whatchamacallit here. I'll forget them. Can't believe it's slipping my mind. It's huge. But anyway, Alex Jones snuck in there and filmed it, and they have all these, you know, Greg and all the top people in the world go there, you know.
Like the Bilderberger thing.
Yeah, it's Anyway, he filmed that. He's done some neat things, but to be honest with you, I'm more impressed by Michael Moore, you know.
Yeah, Michael he's more out there with the fun kind of thing, and I enjoy them all.
Well, that thing he did was brilliant, where he took those people that were hurt at 9/11 giving aid down to Cuba and got them served, you know. Shows you how the press is so arrogant and so stupid. You know, the press in the United States is a joke. No, that you can't trust what's on the news.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Still does that. And, you know, the unfortunate part about it is that your show, my show, and all, we're still, you know, we have to keep persevering in doing it and pressing the word, making copies of shows, telling people, cross-pollinating, promoting each other. That's the only way people have to do. You know, if you listen, open your mind up. Well, Fred, I want to thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, we're out of time.
For having me on. And
yeah, thanks for being on, man. I wanted my listening audience to share one of my another co-host or another host out there that's as crazy as I am.
So that's VeratoLive.com, VIRATOLIVE.com. Saturday, my show's on tomorrow. I love you, Fred. And
thanks for being on the show.
Look at my open dates, and the first one that's open in the afternoon, you got it, my brother.
Okay, give me an email on it. We'll work it out.
All
right,
I love you.
You've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. Our guest has been Swami Barato, former Navy pilot, now turned Swami. He's been doing everything, even more stuff than me. And I really appreciate all you listeners for making this the number one show on BBSRadio.com. Hey, let's hit the islands. Yeah, baby.